My name is Sonia Lovell, and I am obsessed with helping women navigate the magical, messy, and let's be honest, more hysterical moments of this thing called menopause. I'm a personal trainer and breast cancer survivor turned menopause coach. I help women understand what's going on, why, and what they can do to navigate the menopausal transition. This is the Dare Menopause podcast. Joanne, thank you so much for joining me today.
You're welcome, Sonia. It's great to meet you and to be here.
Alrighty, how about you kick us off? Introduce yourself to the listeners. Tell us a little bit about who you are and why you're here to chat with us today.
Okay, so my name's Joanne Kennedy and I'm a naturopath. I've got a clinic in Sydney and I see patients globally on Zoom all over the world. And I have a really niche area, which is histamine intolerance, MTHFR and methylation. And when it comes to women's hormones, this is a really big deal because histamine intolerance is often driven by estrogen dominance, which will happen in perimenopause. And the way you detoxify your hormones is via methylation. That's one of the important pathways that we are looking at when we have estrogen detoxification. So I do a lot of women's hormone stuff in my clinic. And also my patient base is 90% women. So, you know, inevitably we're going to have that sort of the transition from like the PMS stuff or PMDD into perimenopause, into menopause.
Yeah, cool. There's a whole range of years in there that you are obviously supporting your female clients.
That's right. Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, in our modern world with all the environmental toxins and the food chain being sprayed with toxins, it affects women's hormones greatly. So there are a lot of women suffering from bad hormonal imbalances.
Cool. So why don't we start there? I think that's a really good place to start. And I would really love it if you can actually just dive into what those hormone imbalance, the women with the hormone imbalances, the estrogen dominance, when they present to you, what type of symptomology are you seeing? What are they presenting with?
Okay. So estrogen dominance will very much look like breast tenderness, bloating and fluid retention, low mood, and any histamine symptom. Now, this is interesting because estrogen increases histamine. So the histamine symptoms will be heightened anxiety, insomnia, headaches and migraines, nausea, vertigo and dizziness, a worsening of pre-existing allergies or skin issues. Mm-hmm. And this can happen at ovulation, which is when estrogen is at its highest peak. And then again, just before your period, when progesterone drops and estrogen is unopposed. So these are classic signs of estrogen dominance and then the histamine that's being driven from that.
Okay. Now, when I think of histamine, I think of allergy season and taking antihistamines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So obviously the reaction in the body is similar to having an allergic reaction.
Yeah, that's right. But it's with histamine, when it's an allergy symptom like hives, for instance, an immediate breakout, that's often due to something acute, like pollen, right? Being exposed to something that sets your immune system off very quickly. But what we now know about histamine is that it's made in the body and it is made as part of the inflammation cascade. And that can happen over 72 hours, whereby something that's causing inflammation chronically in the body, like bad gut bacteria, candida, gluten will do it, just chronic inflaming the gut, this will cause histamine to be released over time. And you might not have an allergy reaction to that. It doesn't look like an allergy. It just more looks like the signs and symptoms that we see of what we now know as histamine intolerance. And we've got histamine receptors all over our body, in our respiratory tract, cardiovascular, gut, skin, brain. And then so many seemingly unrelated symptoms like migraines and eczema or migraines and reflux is often histamine, are coming from a chronic inflammatory state causing an increase in histamine, and due to chronic inflammation, your ability to break it down is also compromised. So it might not manifest as an acute, it might just be more a chronic thing. This is why people can't pinpoint the histamine foods that are causing some of their symptoms, because it's building up over time. And then the hormone link is so massive, because not only does histamine increase estrogen, estrogen increases histamine. So sometimes it's a hormonal driver of histamine, not necessarily something that you ate.
Yeah, got it. And obviously that's when we start seeing those implications during perimenopause, when the estrogen and progesterone are on that roller coaster. And obviously if you are having some histamine issues, they are going to be exacerbated during that period of time.
So often, Sonia, it's like most women in perimenopause will be suffering from histamine symptoms, even if they never had histamine issues before.
In the past.
Yeah,
it's really interesting, because when you talk about the symptomology, I'm just sitting here going, yep, that's something we talk about for perimenopause. That's something that we talk about for perimenopause. So there's obviously a really strong link there between those not easily diagnosed, irritating kind of symptoms that kind of just bubble along that can be put down to. And it's one of the reasons why we're talking to women about their perimenopausal symptoms, it's like, have everything checked out, whether it's by, whoever your primary carer is, if that's a naturopath or if it's a GP, have them checked out, because they can also be masquerading as something else.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I when I started as a naturopath and started dealing with histamine and then all my female patients with their cycling hormones, I'm like, wow, like I haven't given you any herbs for hot flushes. Your hot flushes have gone because you've got your histamines down.
That's really
your hormonal acne is gone because you've got your histamines down. Your anxiety is gone. It's not necessarily, yes, low progesterone can cause anxiety, but it's not, it's also can be very much histamine.
Okay. So how can you check histamine levels? Is it something that you can have the pathology done to know where your histamine levels are, or is it something that requires a little bit of, I'm going to treat you for this to see if that gives you the results that I'm hoping? Yeah.
So that's a great question. There are histamine blood tests available, but they don't provide an accurate diagnosis that you have a histamine problem. So people are like, what do you mean? So you can test histamine in the blood, right? Histamine is broken down by methylation. And if your histamine is really, really high in the blood, then people are presuming that you have low methylation.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But that's not necessarily the case. You might have high histamine in your blood because you have chronic gut issues, SIBO, mold illness, et cetera, right? And so that's it. That's interesting. And, you can see a test of high histamine, but you really just need to be looking at the symptom picture, because I've seen people with high histamine in their blood and no histamine symptoms. And I've seen people with low histamine in their blood and they have hives, right? So the testing just doesn't give you the picture, the symptom picture. Mm-hmm. So symptoms are classic, like hives, classic issue with histamine.
Yeah.
Migraines, very, very often, especially if they're driven by estrogen.
Yep, so linked to your cycle, obviously.
Histamine. Most of the time, Sonia, reflux is actually histamine because it stimulates hydrochloric acid.
Okay.
Then we have vertigo and dizziness. Heart palpitations that are not driven from low iron is classic. Mm-hmm. Nausea and motion sickness. And with the patient, most of the time they're going to present with a few of these.
Yeah, okay. So it's not, yes, it won't be so one thing in isolation.
It just makes some people, I had a girl today, she just gets migraines and she's always had them, ovulation before a period. Like it's classic.
I have a PT client in that exact scenario.
Yeah, it's just classic estrogen histamine. But most the time people will have they'll have headaches, migraines, they might get insomnia, they get some reflux, they have chronic gut issues, they'll have bad PMS, et cetera. You can usually just see the picture. And when you know the driver, you just got to know the drivers of histamine. And when the patient presents with the drivers as well, then that whole case picture is saying that histamine's a problem for them at this time.
Okay, cool. So once you've recognized that histamine is what's causing, you know, these issues, these ongoing concerns, how do you then treat the patient? What are your treatment options?
It's all about identifying the causes. Okay. So the main causes are gluten intolerance, major. Gluten will really drive a lot of inflammation, histamine in the gut. SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, is a major cause of high histamine. We've also got Helicobacter pylori that will definitely cause an increase in histamine. Mold illness is really big for histamine issues, especially driving mast cell activation syndrome, which is this its severe form. Oxalate toxicity is another major cause of histamine intolerance.
And what is that?
So oxalates are interesting. So oxalate, our body makes oxalate. Its real role in the body of why we need oxalate is not very well known, but we make oxalate. And when we can't break it down, it forms tiny, sharp little crystals.
Mm-hmm.
And these sharp crystals deposit in tissue. They'll deposit in joints, in the bladder, in the urethra, in the gut, and they cause chronic pain and inflammation.
So is this like gout?
No, it's different. They do cause, they are what causes kidney stones.
Okay.
But they also can deposit throughout the body. And they're terrible, Sonia, and they're really bad. They make people very sick. They disrupt your biochemistry significantly. And they cause chronic inflammation. They're constantly causing inflammation, which will drive up histamine.
Okay.
So oxalates, I've got a girl, Melanie, working for me who does the mold and oxalate. Stuff mold. The gut, the body will make oxalate when it's dysbiotic. When you've got a really bad gut, it can do that. It will also. It's also in a lot of mold. Mold species contain oxalate as well. It's quite awful. So oxalates drive up histamine, and then absolutely irritable bowel disease, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis will do it, and absolutely estrogen. Okay. So they're off the top of my head, they're the major drivers. So you've got to work out what the driver is. You can't just put someone on a low histamine diet. It'll help with symptoms, but it's not going to fix them.
Yeah.
So, I do a lot of microbiome testing. You can also get an overgrowth of histamine producing bacteria in the large bowel. And I also do a lot of SIBO testing. SIBO is a major driver of histamine. And then hormones for me, you know, like I'm so symptomatic with hormones, like, you know, it's the rise and fall of the cycle and the symptoms. It's the clinical picture and the case history of a patient for me most of the time with understanding hormones and just knowing that the age of the woman, like if you're 48, 49, it's like you're perimenopause. It's all of a sudden you're having all these histamine symptoms. It's obviously driven from your hormones. But there's a lot of functional medicine tests that we can do to actually look at the drivers, and then we need to fix what is causing it. And most of the time you can get on top of the problem.
Okay, so when it is a hormonal problem, you know, obviously we're here to talk about mostly perimenopausal and menopausal women. So if it is identified that it is an estrogen-driven reaction, it's creating the histamine, what is a treatment option then? What, you know, or what are the kind of processes that you would go with a woman?
Yeah. Okay. If that woman doesn't have significant gut issues, she doesn't have gluten intolerance, she doesn't have SIBO, her bowels are working really well, then it really is a matter of detoxifying estrogen, which I do with the use of calcium deglucarate. I really, really love that because it works on detoxifying estrogen quite very, very well. So we do that. We also make sure the woman is making as much progesterone as she can.
Yeah.
Okay. And one of the key things we need to understand about progesterone is that it's excreted from the corpus luteum. So the corpus luteum, the corpus luteum is created at ovulation, and it's created from the dominant follicle. So you need to have have a healthy dominant follicle, because if you have a healthy dominant follicle, then that corpus luteum is going to be more robust and it's going to be able to support as much progesterone production as possible. And how you support follicle quality is N-acetylcysteine is brilliant at supporting follicle quality. So N-acetylcysteine for follicle quality, you make sure you...
That's NAC, isn't it?
NAC. Yeah, NAC. Yeah.
That's an amazing supplement.
Yeah, amazing. And then you make sure that you're detoxifying your estrogen. I really love calcium deglucarate. And then I make sure I've got the nutrients in place for progesterone. Iodine is essential. Zinc, B6, iron, vitamin D. Like vitamin D is really, really important. So making sure you are supporting the production of progesterone as much as possible whilst detoxifying your estrogen. Right. So what a lot of people are doing is they're just taking progesterone support, natural and synthetic, and they're not detoxifying the estrogen. Mm-hmm. So they're not really getting any improvement with their symptoms.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in perimenopause, your estrogen can go 3 times higher than when you were younger at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be crazy. Hence why, you know, some women get such extreme, you know, symptoms and fluctuations in moods and brain fog and, you know, and systemically our whole body is impacted by those fluctuations of estrogen. So, you know, that's really interesting. And I think the other thing that you touched on there that is something that is so important for women is to really get that full picture of their metabolic health and to be looking at all of those, you know, the iodines and the B12s and the, you know, your vitamin D and understanding how important all of those metabolic markers are in getting a picture of where else you can be supported to really be as healthy and future fit as you possibly can be.
So true. I've had patients recently that, you know, they're very perimenopausal and they've got low mood and low motivation, but they're low in iron and vitamin D, you know, and getting that up helped them significantly.
Yeah.
You know, you've got to look at all of that stuff in combination. You can't just blame hormones. You just got to be looking at all of those other markers. I mean, they're helping your hormones, but if they're low, you have all those, you know, you might not suffer so badly when you're like 20, but when you're in the perimenopause phase, it all adds up to making you a worse transition.
Yeah.
But one thing I'll also say, Sonia, is, you know, getting the histamine foods down during that perimenopausal phase, if you're really suffering from histamine and estrogen symptoms, can really help you. You know, like it's symptomatic, but it can significantly help with your symptoms while you go through that transition.
Right. So tell us what foods?
It's wine, isn't it? So it's alcohol, but it's the you know, it's fermented foods are very, very high in histamine. They contain histamine.
We're talking about reducing those.
Yeah. I mean, you can women that are getting severe hot flushes or migraines. They're debilitating. You can remove histamine foods from your diet and have a significant improvement in your symptoms. And you might just need to do it for a couple of years whilst you're going through that transition. Not all women do, but, you know, if you're suffering with migraines that are coming at ovulation before your period that are debilitating, you know, removing histamine foods for a few years out of your diet, you know, is going to just, it's going to really, really help you, because you can't stop the fluctuation. You can help detoxify, but you can't stop it.
Yeah.
So fermented foods are super high histamine. And then there's things like avocado, banana, tomato, citrus fruit that are high in histamine as well. So it just depends on how sensitive you are how much you need to reduce.
Yeah, I think the obvious one, you know, and I talk about it a lot, I stopped drinking 12 months ago. And one of the reasons why I stopped was, well, I have two reasons, but my first one, they should be around the other way, but they're not. My first one was that my hot flushes were out of control. And I would literally have a glass of wine and flush from head to toe instantaneously. And so I started drawing that, you know, that joining the dots, if you like, and going, hang on a second, there's got to be a link here. Also, as a cancer survivor, it's much better for me to reduce my alcohol to reduce my risk of recurrence. So, you know, as I said, they should have been around the other way, but they weren't. And, but yeah, so many women that I speak to that are still in those perimenopausal years, using that wine as that crutch, that cool down at the end of the day, thinking that it's going to make them feel better and help them sleep better. But in fact, it's having such an opposite effect on them.
It really heightens anxiety, hot flushes, night sweats. And it just, it contains histamine and it destroys the gut. You know, alcohol really does inflame the gut. And I've read this, one glass of wine increases estrogen in the blood like 70%. Like, it's significant.
It's huge, isn't it?
It's really big. And then it slows down your liver, which detoxifies your estrogen. So it contains histamine that increases estrogen. Like, the alcohol increases estrogen. It slows the liver, that hinders estrogen detoxification, and it inflames your gut, which causes more histamine. It is, unfortunately, the thing that's just makes you way worse. But it's the thing we all want to go for. I get it.
Yeah.
But
is it just wine, or is it alcohol in general?
You know, white wine, red wine's way is higher in histamine, but white wine, red wine, beer, obviously. I mean, you're much better off having like some white spirits.
Yeah.
You know, like a vodka soda splash. I know lime's high histamine, but splash of lime just a little bit. Is much better than a full blown cup of histamine. You're drinking a cup of histamine. So you're drinking a cup of estrogen, which sounds great, but women don't really get that it's not low estrogen yet. It's high estrogen and then it's flat. Yeah, so yeah, alcohol's just not great during that transition.
No, it's really not. Yeah, it really isn't. Yeah. All right. So what else would you like to share with women that are listening that are in their perimenopausal, menopausal years?
Yeah. So, you know, it's not often that I'll see a patient whereby their histamine is just driven from a hormone changes. They usually have pre-existing issues that are going to drive up their histamine, and they might have always suffered from it, but it's just getting way worse in perimenopause. So, and this is gut stuff, Sonia. This is the key to human health. It's so important. And if you have, you know, if you have bloating, indigestion, if you have reflux, heartburn, belching, if your bowels aren't perfect, there's something going on with your gut. Yeah. Whether it's driven from your diet or from a bacterial overgrowth, SIBO being the most common, then you really need to get on top of that in your early 40s, because if you do that, your transition through perimenopause will be a lot easier, because you're going to get your histamine cut down, right? Because you'll get rid of any dysbiotic bacteria. You'll understand what if it is gluten, you know, if you're getting bloated, you're inflamed. Very simple, right?
Yeah.
So if it is gluten and sugar, you need to get your diet right so that your histamine bucket is not too high. Right. And so when you're moving into that transition, you don't have all this histamine that all of a sudden is causing massive issues with your hormones. And bowels, you need to have really, really great bowels. It all comes down to gut. The other thing is the amount of stress women put on their bodies really can hinder that transition into menopause. Like, I have seen women push themselves physically with running excessive amounts, 10 kilometers a day, like bodybuilding, excessive exercise, it just depletes them so bad, and it disrupts the gut microbiome a lot, and they crash, and it's very, very, very hard for them to get back up. And they particularly crash in DHEA and testosterone, and that causes major issues with fatigue and muscle loss, which they've always tried to have.
Yeah.
Right. So it's against them. So adrenal fatigue, muscle mass, poor muscle mass, massive brain fog.
Yeah.
Low libido stuff. Like, that is that excessive exercise. You know, I'm talking women that are pushing like the triathlons and the 10K runs and bodybuilding and way too many weights. So it's that, and oftentimes,
You know, from my perspective as a personal trainer and my experience in the fitness industry, there's a huge connection as well between being overtrained and underfed.
Yeah. Okay. That's, of course. You see that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
So much. And, you know, so much of it is also driven by, you know, the body image, you know, issues that we have as women that are driven by the fitness industry and the beauty industry and, you know, the fashion industry and all of that. You know, it's such a cycle that women get trapped in this, you know, I need to over-exercise, but I've got to under-eat because if I do those things, I'll maintain this tiny body that I've had since I was 20. And, you know, it's the amount of women that I see and that I speak to and that they come to me and go, I want to look like I did when I was 20, or I want to have my body back to what it was like when I was 30.
You're 50.
You know, this is just it's not realistic, and it's breaking so many bodies as a result.
Yeah, and these women, it becomes to a point where they have chronic fatigue and it's you can't really reverse it. Yeah, no, so I do chat to my patients about just going easy on themselves and letting go. And you're fighting nature. You're meant to put on fat for estrogen, which is protecting your brain and your bones and
your organs.
And your organs. It's just a natural part, and we've just got to embrace it. And you know what? Most men don't care. Most men just like women. I always say that to them.
I do,
I don't necessarily think
that women do it for men. I think a lot of the pressure comes from other women.
Yeah.
Or their perception of what other women
think. Yeah, is that right? Yeah. We live in a crazy world like that, a crazy society. I just think it's a shame because like that women grow into themselves, you know, during that fat, you know, in their 50s and have so much to offer the world and so much to live for. Mm-hmm. And if you're fit and healthy and you've got some estrogen in your fat tissue, then you're going to have a better time. That's what I think.
I agree.
You might as well be a little bit over, you know, a little bit more plump and have your wits about you and your brain function and, you know, not and you've got energy. And a lot of my friends have gone through menopause, feel fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, they've gone through it and they've put on a bit of weight, but they've got better energy. They don't get PMS. They're able to work. They're able to travel more because they've got more energy. They're able to work more. They feel amazing. So that little bit of weight gain to have some estrogen is well worth it, I think.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought it up. Joanne, it's been amazing to chat with you. Was there anything you wanted to leave us with? How can anybody that's listening that might be interested in perhaps having a consult with you or learning more about you, how can they find you?
So my website is joannekennedy.com.au. Mm-hmm. So you can read, I've got lots of blogs, lots of video content. It links through to my YouTube video content. There's all that there. You can listen. I've also got my booking. If you want to see me for a consult, you can book in online. And I've actually got an e-bundle, which is an e-book. It's like mm-hmm. 100 pages. It's quite long e-book and a video masterclass all on histamine intolerance. It covers all the hormonal part of that too. So that's also available on my website.
Beautiful. I will link through to all of those in the show notes as well so that anybody can find you that is interested in learning more about histamine and, you know, that impact that it has on estrogen. And I think that's so, so important. Joanne, I wrap up all of my interviews by asking my guests the same question. And that is, what are you reading, watching, or listening to right now that is bringing you joy?
I'm reading a book called The Energy Codes by Dr. Sue Morta.
Mm-hmm.
Heard of her?
No, I haven't.
It's a fascinating read, and she talks about how she links the chakra system to breath, basically. And I've been doing this for about a week, only for a week, and it's increased my energy, it's increased my focus, it's a bit woo-woo, but she talks about how, and it's not woo-woo because it's actually physics, but how energy, we are all energy, and it gets compressed into our body, And you can draw energy, universal energy into your body, and crazy stuff is happening. Like I will think something like, I want an American practitioner to work for me, and I had an American practitioner contact me that day by email.
I love that.
I know it's a bit woo-woo, but I'm loving it.
No, woo-woo is good.
I'm just going with it because it's working. So Dr. Sue Morta, the energy codes, I can't do it justice to explain what she talks about because it's quantum physics, Sonia.
Yeah.
It's quantum physics.
Yeah, it's cool. I love physics.
But how we bring energy, universal energy into our body, and how we can store it, and how...
And then we can tap into it.
Store it and tap into it. But I love it because she gives you the tools to do it, the actual exercises to do it.
Sounds amazing. All right. I will definitely be linking through to that in the show notes as well. Okay.
Thank you. You should read it for yourself.
Yeah, I'm thinking it's going to also add to my increasingly large bedside table stack of books that just keeps getting bigger instead of smaller. Joanne, thank you so much for your time. I've loved your chat. I've learned so much. I hope the ladies are listening to have as well. Thank you for joining me.
Right. Thanks, Sonia.
Thank you for listening today. I am so grateful to have these conversations with incredible women and experts. And I'm grateful that you chose to hit play on this episode of Dear Menopause. If you have a minute of time today, please leave a rating or a review. I would love to hear from you because you are my biggest driver for doing this work. If this chat went way too fast for you and you want more, head over to stellarwomen.com.au/podcast for the show notes. And while you're there, take my midlife quiz to see why it feels like midlife is messing with your head.